part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Our Ask a Pastor pastor is already standing by. Pastor Witus Manga, and good afternoon. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us, Pastor.
Good afternoon. It is an honor. It is a privilege to join you this hour.
Our question for today: if God could create the universe by just the wave of his hand or the utterance of a command, why not make Earth depend on nothing to sustain life?
This is indeed a brilliant question, because it takes us right back to God's creative prowess. That God, and we must begin with an affirmation that God indeed can create simply at a command. That is the Bible's reflection of how God went about making this beautiful, wonderful world. The Bible says, "And God spoke." He spoke and there was light. He spoke and he created order. He spoke and brought about the sun, moon, and stars, trees, by the word of his mouth. And this is quite an incredible picture of God's power. Now, the question really here is, what kind of world did God want to create? What kind of world did he envision? What we do see is a world in which there is interdependence of the things that he creates. And so where there is trees, it is so that people can be able to feed off the fruit of the trees. You know, where you have animals, those animals also, mammals in general, releasing carbon dioxide and giving those trees carbon dioxide, and the trees in exchange are giving oxygen. And I think it is in the nature of love to have this manner of relationship where there is interdependence, and interdependence also means that no system is fully self-contained in a manner. There is a sense of dependence upon another for something that one does not have. So there must be compatibility, there must be a sense of you have something I do not have, I have something that you do not have. And that exchange, I think, reflects a wonderful ecosystem in nature and in society. And I think that's the kind of world that God wanted to create, where everyone can relate with another and there is coherence, rather than what we see today in a world where this need is exploited and it is used for the advantage and the progress of some and to the detriment of another. And we need to learn, I think, the Christian principle of love, so that we can be able to live in a society where true interdependence has equilibrium, equity, and has a sense of well-being for all.
What does it mean, interdependence? What does it mean, Punis?
Interdependence. This means at least there is a sense of dependence, one entity to another. I depend upon another, and the other also depends upon me. I have something, you have something, and what you have probably I do not have. What I have, you probably do not have, and therefore we are interdependent upon one another. If we can go to the picture of the body, that can possibly create for us a sense of interdependence. Where you have an eye that sees, its job is to see. It can see, it has been created to see, but its function depends upon the functions of other parts of the body. What other parts? You have blood vessels, for instance. The cornea depends upon certain connections and nerves, but The eye itself is connected to the brain so that the brain can interpret that which is being received by the senses. And so the brain is dependent upon the eye to receive input, and the eye, as it were, is dependent upon, now I'm not a biologist, but I hope I am at least painting a picture here. The eye also is dependent on the brain to provide interpretation and sense to that which is being received. And I think that is a nice visual way, no pun intended, to depict what interdependence sort of means.
So is that God's plan, that we should depend on each other?
I believe so. That as we live in a world that a child is born completely helpless, as it were, already there comes the lesson. When you're born, you are dependent upon others. You cannot feed yourself, you cannot walk, you can hardly do much, and the lesson begins right there. And you grow up to learn to appreciate that you are where you are because of somebody else. Your mother that breastfed you, your father that provided for you, that held you, that protected you. You did not have what you have today, but you have it today because somebody else did something so that they can get you to where you are. And that sense of gratitude, I think, boils so that you can pass it on also to somebody else. It is a beautiful world where you have a connection between different people that can be grateful for what is provided to them and also can be responsible in their lives for what they provide to the world. I think it is a two-way street. One must not just be receiving, always opening their arms, but growth requires that to become a part of this world, you also contribute to it. And that then becomes a beautiful chain of love.
Is dependence and trust the same thing? If I am depending on you, is that the same as trusting you to do what I depend on you for?
Dependence and trust. I think they're related, but may not be speaking exactly of the same thing. Mm. Dependence may point to a need that one has of another. Trust probably has to do with the provision for that which is needed. Mm. So if the provision doesn't come, the trust is erased. There is an erosion of trust. So you can imagine a child, you know, who depends on a parent. And the parent just never shows the warmth, the love. When the child is hungry, they're not fed. When the child is cold, they're not clothed. That, I think, becomes an issue that takes away trust from not just the individual, but probably in the larger sense from society as a whole. And I think the encounters that we have where we do not have good experiences of our needs being met by others, where probably they rightfully should be providing those needs, leads us to a place where trust is completely eroded. It may be an issue of government. A nation that should be providing certain services does not provide them. Trust is eroded in a community. It may be in a church where leadership has been entrusted with certain duties and they do not provide it. The church needs those services but don't get them. Trust is eroded.
So there's a verse that pops into mind, but since you and I have not discussed this, I don't know if you'd be willing to take a question on that verse. Are you, Phineas?
I think we may explore it.
Okay.
And
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. It reads, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one.
1 Thessalonians 4, verse 5.
Verse 12.
Verse 12.
Yes.
All right. so that your daily life. Okay, just give me a second.
That's all right. My version here, it's the ESV, and I'm sure you could find it in your own version. In my version, it says, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. What does your version say?
Okay, I have the NIV, which essentially says the same, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a beautiful way to speak about independence, right? As a balancing act to what I have mentioned here. Verse 11, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life.
Yeah.
You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is to be independent, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think this is where interdependence grows from, you know. I do not think this necessarily means that you never are in need of either the provisions that others give. Let me give an illustration here. So you work with your hands, and this is what verse 11 says. You run your business. Let us say, like Christ, you are running a carpentry shop, and you're making provisions. Now, what you're making there with your hands, somebody else needs, right?
Okay.
They come into your shop and they get what you need and they give you what will make you independent, right?
Okay.
So this dependence on no one does not mean that you have no interdependence, as it were. I'm not too sure if I'm explaining it as clearly or as elegantly as one could possibly do it. Now, verse 9 says, now about your love for one another, we do not need to write you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Yeah. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to live a quiet life. So the love that we have for others, you know, do other people need the love that we give them? I would submit, yes, they do. Is there a need for love at all? Yes, there is a need for love. Now, that need for love means you yourself need love, but you also give love. Now, here's how I would possibly summarize it, Lupondwana, that you cannot give what you do not have. So when a child is growing, they are dependent on their parents. As they grow, they become less and less dependent, and they become independent, right?
Okay.
But in their independence, they also then begin to look out for the needs of others. The least of these, in the broader sense of things.
Yeah.
And if you look at the church, it becomes an issue of the kingdom of God. The Israelites were given an illustration through their agricultural life, where they were instructed that they should also not consume everything, but make sure that they leave on the edges so that the poor can be able to come and collect.
Yeah.
Now, when those poor are able to find sustenance, they must not be brought into a space of dependence. So our provisions for others must not make them slaves to ourselves, as it were. But they also must grow like a child grows. They must be empowered. There's a text that I like in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 8, verse 18. God says, it is I who gives you the power to gain wealth, right?
Okay.
And I think this points also to the principle of this text, that you must make wealth, and we must not be afraid of Christians to instruct people 6 days thou shalt labor, go and make wealth, go make an increase. It is a biblical mandate. Now, as one does that, and one grows, one becomes independent, you then are able to give on to others that are less fortunate. You're able to pass on the blessings that you have received.
Got it.
And I think this is the growth that the Bible is instructing. Do not become so dependent on others.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you to pray for us, Mfundisi, as we close.
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the stewardship that you've given us in this world to play our role in this ecosystem, in society, in our communities, in our families, to play our role in the world. And I pray that you'd help us to do that judiciously. But Lord, we know that we cannot give what we do not have. And so help us to grow. Enlarge our minds, our thinking, give us visions. Help us, Lord, to pursue business. And as we make increase, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to provide for the needy. But Lord, give us also the wisdom in how to assist others so that we do not make them dependent upon ourselves, make them slaves.
Are you still there, Pastor? Oh, just as we're having our closing prayer. All right, we're going to leave it right there since the line. Pastor,
we make it wealth. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right, I'm hoping I heard the pastor say amen there. Our line is not particularly clear. Pastor Whitlam,
I've just gotten back. Apologies for that.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Let's end it right there because our line seems to be deteriorating. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time, Mfundisi.
Thank you and many blessings. Thank you for having me on.
Same to you, Mfundisi.
It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.